But what about people who grew up with no idea about any of this? They have no guilt. They have no guilt. They have no heaven. They have no hell. They have no guilt. They have no parents looking over their shoulders. There's no enforcement. They're not going to be a heartbreak to their parents if they're not from the opposite. They're a heartbreak to their parents if they become from. How do they do it? Those of us who grew up this way look at them and say, like, how do you do this? You mean you volunteered? And the answer is, what do you volunteer? It's not volunteering. Once you realize who you really are, it's not. I mean, what volunteer? Of course. Can't be anything else. But today, and this is happening all over the world, people with zero sense of morality, guilt, these issues are not what tears at them. In the old days, they used to say, you know, if someone became irreligious, you can never really enjoy the world, you know, because you know the truth. Lurking in the back of your mind is always your mother saying, no, no, you can never really enjoy it. But you're talking about people who grew up, no problem, no guilt. So how do you do it? And some of these people doing it at an incredible speed, going from one extreme to another extreme in a brief period of time. How do you do it? The answer is, as we said, once you discover who you really are, then it is not a question. So today, we are living in a world where a Jew, it's very easy for a Jew to get in touch with who he really is. We learn in Chumash, and Rashi, we say, you know, the whole world was created for the sake of the Jews. And you say, wow, that's an exciting concept. But the reality is that it looks like the Jew was created to be the world's football. The world is created to serve me. What to serve me? What? When? Where? All I get from the world is aggravation. The world is out to get me. What do you mean the world is here to serve me? You say, no, but you know who a Jew really is? A Jew really is the purpose of creation. You know what the world really is? The world is really there to serve you, to help you fulfill your purpose. Beautiful idea. If only someday we would be able to see it. So the Rebbe says, we can see it. Today, governments are helping Jewish schools. Today, if you want to accomplish something, a shliach comes to town. So the first thing is, you visit the newspapers, you visit the seat of government, and if you're lucky enough and the politicians are not Jewish, then they'll help you. If they're Jewish, you may have problems. But if they're not Jewish, they'll be glad to help. There's a fellow I know that has a shul in a place where the county fathers are working to try to make sure that the zoning laws don't allow them to build a shul. So right now, in order, every Shabbos he needs a right now every Shabbos he has a way of getting around it. But if he wants to use a bigger place, like he needed for a Shana Yom Kippur, he needed a bigger place, he needs a special permit. The problem is that the regular magistrate is Jewish, and he's not going to give you a permit for the shul. So what they do? They know Erev Yom Kippur he's not going to be there. Because even he keeps Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur will be the not-Jewish judge who'll be sitting in. He'll for sure sign the permit. So they waited with the permit till Erev Yom Kippur, till the day before Yom Kippur. They brought it to the non-Jewish judge. He said, oh, you want to pray for Yom Kippur? Sure. And he signed. Because they're not here to stop you, to bother you. They're going to help. doesn't always mean that they help initially right away. Let's see, even with the Hanukkah menorahs, who made trouble? All the court cases that we had with the Hanukkah menorahs. Who took Lubavitch to court? Jews. Who decided that we have the right to put up Hanukkah menorahs everywhere? Non-Jews. They have no problem. The problem is only that we ourselves are resisting coming to grips with who we really are. We ourselves are still living with our exile mentalities. But it's all in the eye of the beholder. It's all in your perception. A Jew is supposed to, we know that a Jew, since his role, the world is created to serve him, and his role is to make a world a perfect world, therefore a Jew can go out and influence all the nations of the world. This is a pipe dream. For thousands of years, what do you mean go out and influence all the nations of the world? You can't talk to them. You go talk to a non-Jew about religion. They'll take you out to be shot, hung, burned at the stake, whatever the favorite means of disposal might be at that time. Today the Rebbe came along and the Rebbe said, you know what? Try it. Go out. Tell your non-Jewish neighbors, co-workers, friends. Tell them that there's seven Noahide laws. And not only will they not bother you, they'll be appreciative. When the Rebbe first started with Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Ne'ach, with the seven Noahide laws, there was a boy who was traveling on a bus in Crown Heights. And his was the only white-colored skin on the bus. But he felt, when does he ever encounter non-Jews? And the Rebbe is talking about the need to talk to non-Jews about the seven Noahide laws. So he decided that he's going to give up his life al Kiddush Hashem. He's going to make the supreme sacrifice for the Rebbe. He stood up on the bus and he announced, as fast as he could push the words out of his mouth, you should know that the seven Noahide laws and the seven laws are. And he sat down. And he's like waiting for the reaction, like what's going to happen? And someone comes over and says, what was the second one? And he was like totally shocked. He thought the reaction would be, I mean, it would be a lynching. So the whole world has changed totally, completely. So on the extreme surface, it looks like it's only gotten much worse than it's ever been before. Just even look at till recently. We know Chassidus explains that Hashem spreads the, based on the Gemara, that Hashem spreads the Jews around the world. But if they're persecuted in one place, there's always another place where they're free to continue to work. And this is like standard. I mean, for the past 2,000 years, we always accepted that a certain percentage of the Jewish people will be oppressed. I mean, that's just it. That's a fact of life. And in fact, till very recently, almost half of the Jewish people did not have the freedom to behave and act and live as Jews. And one day, that just changed. And now there's almost nowhere in the world where a Jew is not free to be who he really is. A Jew can reveal within himself, within others, a Jew can reveal within the world what a Jew really is, and what the world really is. The Rebbe said in the first Maimon that it's our mission to bring the Shekhinah into the lowliest realms. Basi Ligani Achisi Kalo, that Hashem says, I have returned to my garden. And it's our job to reveal the Shekhinah in the lowliest possible places that can be imagined in existence. So the fact that the world is as lowly as it is not an indication that we're failing. It's an indication that we're succeeding beyond our wildest dreams. That godliness could be revealed to the extent that it is in such a lowly world. That makes it that much more amazing. It's part of the sign that we have succeeded to bring the Shekhinah betachtonim, as low as it can go. No one could have done this before us. You couldn't take a chassid of the previous Rebbe who was studying in Teim Chetrimim in Warsaw or Riga or Lubavitch and drop him into a Manhattan street today. He couldn't handle it. Forget about revealing godliness in a Manhattan street. He would barely be able to last 10 minutes there. A chassid of the Rebbe Rashab, a chassid of the Rebbe Marash, the earlier generations, they couldn't go as low as we can go. If you would put them in such a lowly world, they would just be gone. They would be finished. They would just escape into a little hole with a sefer and never come out. We have been given the power to go into the lowliest possible places imaginable. There is nothing lower. And reveal godliness in those places. Because the seventh generation has done its job to bring the Shekhinah batachtena, to bring the Shekhinah into the lowliest place. So the question is, one second, if this is readiness for redemption, so who did it? Who's the Redeemer? But once you've defined what redemption is and how the world is ready for redemption, you have to be blind to not realize who the Redeemer is. I mean, who showed us the way to bring the Shekhinah batachtein? Who showed us how we can reveal within ourselves keches that we could not even dream that we had in our wildest dreams? Who taught us how to reveal in the world, in the lowliest world, godliness in ways previously unimagined? This is a power, and the Rebbe points out in the Sichas of Tavshin and Beis that this is something that even the Alter Rebbe could not do. Because the Alter Rebbe ran away from France, from Napoleon. And the freedoms, the emancipation that France represented. As the Rebbe said, the difference between France, the French Revolution, and the American Revolution. The American Revolution represented freedom of religion, and the French Revolution represented freedom from religion. The Alter Rebbe ran away. Because there was just no way, the world was not ready, the Chassidim were not ready, to bring godliness into that type of situation. In which it's every man for himself, in an egalitarian society where the individual reigns supreme, everyone does whatever he feels like. There's just no way. And the Rebbe says, but today we can do it, and we are doing it. Because today, as Chassidus explains, that the power to reveal the Shekhinah in the lowliest places comes from God's very essence himself, because it's a contradiction in terms. Godliness and lowliness are opposites, at least the way we used to look at it. So where do we get the power to connect opposites? That comes from God himself, who's infinite and therefore contains opposites. So every Jew, the Rebbe says, has been given the power, is able to tap into the power of God's very essence. In other words, Geula. That's what Chassidus describes Geula. That's what it is. So we say, 1 second. Okay. I see how, in many ways, the world is holding by Geula. A Jew can do anything. The only limitation that a Jew has is his own imagination. You can do anything. You can get away with anything. In terms of spreading Teremetz. You can even do anything and get away with anything in terms of spreading Mashiach. Again, you may have a problem with Jews, not with non-Jews. So, for instance, we had in Yud Shvat Tavshin and Gimel, when the so-called coronation took place, the whole world was watching. They interrupted Super Bowl programming. The most expensive advertising time of the year. Every moment in Super Bowl programming is worth $1 million. Literally. 60 seconds. Worth $1 million. More. And they interrupted Super Bowl programming in most parts of America to show funny dressed people with beards standing in front of a balcony singing Live Our King, Our Master, Our Rebbe, King Mashiach Ve'Evan. And somebody took down for me on video the how all the news stations handled it. Unbelievably respectfully. Despite the fact that there were many statements from Lubavitchers themselves deriding and putting down the event, it was amazingly respectful. Non-Jews don't have a problem with this. We were standing doing Mitzrayim outside Beth Israel Hospital. We only got trouble from Jews, not from non-Jews. Non-Jews would stop to ask, how's the Rebbe doing? I wasn't there, but on two different occasions, some bachim that I learned with, there's a bachim that I learned with that at the time he was clean-shaven, and he was standing out there in front of Beth Israel doing Mitzrayim. He wasn't yet. Now he learns in Alitera, but at that time he was in Misnagas Yeshiva. And non-Jews came over to him and asked, are we still allowed to believe in Yashka? Are we still permitted? Is it okay? Did all of them come over? No, not all of them came over. But something's going on here. If you would have asked somebody throughout our history, especially in the Western world, what is the most sensitive topic that there exists between the Jew and his non-Jewish neighbor? Messiah. Right? I mean, we nixed them. Right? This is the excuse. Well, the Crusades, the Inquisitions, it was even the excuse for the Holocaust. So, I mean, like, it's the most touchy subject that you could possibly bring up in the public forum. Did you notice anyone getting upset? Let alone proclaiming your own. Forget about discussing the topic. Proclaiming your own. Pogroms. Blood would run in the street. Yeah? No, it didn't. People are interested, yeah? What's the story? I'm standing in a store in Crown Heights, and a simple delivery man. It's like he's trembling. A guy, he's asking the storekeeper. He doesn't want to offend him. He's like very nervous. He's stuttering and trembling. What's with the Mashiach? Is it still? This is after Gimel Thomas. Is it still, you know, do you still believe? Is he coming back? And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, like, I grew up not that long ago in New York City, at least before the Six-Day War, for sure. After the Six-Day War, they had a little more respect. But before the Six-Day War, I mean, like, I grew up with Hail Hitler. I didn't grow up with people saying, excuse me, what's the story about Mashiach? I grew up, you know, you have to know which neighborhood, which street you can go down, which street you can't go down, how many people you need to go down that street, how many people you need to go down the other street. That was New York, free country. So something pretty wild is going on here. If we'll only pay attention. The problem that we have is, and I'm going a little over time, you'll excuse me. The problem that we have here is our own mentalities are still locked in goals. There's a sikh in which the Rebbe says that the Eibushter himself is waiting that a Jew should agree to go out of goals. That he should agree, he should want, and he should proclaim that it's time to go out of goals. Hashem is ready. He's not holding back. What he wants you to say is, what he wants is that we should say, so what's going on here? If everything is ready, how come we're still here? You see, but we still have our old mentalities. We're still used to looking at saying, come on, is it real? Clouds? You're kidding. Clouds? Really? Gonna come out of the sky? A base of English? Nah. Well, yeah, I mean, well, it says so. I believe it. I do, I don't. Maybe. If you look around, you can see much more amazing things than buildings coming out of sky. Much more amazing. Chassidus explains that the miracles of the that in the Geula there will be two types of miracles. The miracles that will happen in a natural way, the miracles within nature, and there will be miracles that will break nature. And Chassidus explains the miracles that are within nature are much greater miracles than the miracles that will go contrary to nature. It's a much greater miracle to remake nature. That the very rules of the world, the very rules of existence change. That's a much greater miracle. So the question here is, what's left for us to do? People ask me, so what about after Gimel Tammuz? Like, how do you, you have a connection to the Rebbe, you don't have a connection to the Rebbe? How do you make a connection to the Rebbe? Is he here? Is he there? Is he? Every time we walk down the street, every time you do Mifzayim, every time all of those things that we take for granted in a world totally turned around, the Rebbe is there. What's that? The Rebbe is with you. If you want to find out how to unlock the key, how to get the key to unlock the secret of who a Jew really is and what the Jew really is, you can only get that from the Rebbe. No one else. The Rebbe used to make fun of the Hasidim that would look back and think like the earlier Rabbeim, wow, that's a few generations back. That's a big deal. Today is already not the same. The Rebbe would talk about his father-in-law. That the Rebbe would say, you know, oh, the Hasidus from the Alter Rebbe, oh, that's something special. But it's not true. We have only one Rebbe. And that Rebbe is the one who gave us and continues to give us the key to unlock and reveal who we really are, help other Jews unlock and reveal who they really are, and help the world come to realize what it really is. And that is the ultimate miracle of the Rebbe. The miracle of the Rebbe that he decided, and the Rebbe explained that anything that happens to a Rebbe is he decided and he agreed, and nothing happens to him. We very often we make the mistake, we picture two forces fighting and the Rebbe and he was taken from us. The Rebbe taught us there's no such thing. The Rebbe doesn't get taken. The Rebbe decides he has somewhere to go, he has something important to do. That's his business. How he wants to do it, that's his business. And believe me, the miracle of not breathing and then reappearing is a lot smaller than the miracles of the Rebbe that we live with every day. In fact, after the Rebbe's illness in 78, the heart attack. So the Rebbe came down to Fabreng the first time. He was hooked up to the heart monitor. When the Rebbe started saying the Maima, the monitor registered no heartbeat. It went flat. So the doctors came running out. And he looks, and the Rebbe's talking with his eyes closed. The Rebbe sang a Maima for 35 minutes. For 35 minutes on a heart monitor, there was no heartbeat. As soon as the Rebbe finished, it went back to normal. And Hasidim witnessed this for 40 years, hundreds of times. Well, you didn't realize what was going on. But obviously, if it happened that once, it happened every time. So what's the big deal? What's everyone getting so excited about? What you should be getting excited about is that you want to see the Rebbe. What you should get excited about is Ad Masai. How much longer, if everything is here and everything is ready, how much longer can we wait? But that in itself, in order to come to that Admasa, you have to realize how ready we really are. Because if you think we're not ready, you can't say Admasa honestly. Because you feel, hey, what do you mean Admasa? I'm not even ready. Admasa till I'm ready. So the Rebbe says, this is not a contradiction when we read the Sichas, that the Rebbe says the whole world is ready and everything is done. And at the same time, the only thing that's left is that a Jew should scream Admasa. True, because the only way you're going to honestly scream out Masai from your own internal conviction is if you believe that the world is ready and you have an honest question. So what's holding up the work? It's only if you have problems with whether or not the world is ready that you can't really say out Masai honestly. What do you mean out Masai? Till the world is ready. That's your answer. If that could be an answer, then you don't have a legitimate question. So the Rebbe is telling us both things at the same time. You have to realize that the world is ready. And you have to say, Ad Masai. So when you know that the world is ready, when you realize how Jews are ready, and you help yourself and other Jews realize that they're ready, you go out to the world and you help the world realize that it's ready. It's over. We have brought the Shechina down in Tachtenim. When you approach the Jew, what you see is the Tachtenim, so what? Not a contradiction. All you have to do is reveal the Shechina that's in the Tachtenim. when you approach the world, when you approach a non-Jew, I'm looking at the lowliest thing I could possibly look at. That's not a conflict. You have to bring out the godliness that's in him, and you have that power because the godliness is here. It's accessible. You don't have to go to the seventh heaven for it. Because God isn't in the heaven anymore. He's down here. So the more you realize for yourself your own readiness, help the world realize its readiness. Help another Jew realize his readiness. The more you appreciate that readiness. And the readiness is not just the world is ready for Mashiach, the concept. Mashiach, the world is ready for Mashiach, the actuality, with a name and address. For anyone who bothers, but again, somebody who the way he looks at the world is that the world is not ready. So he goes and talks about who Mashiach is. He gets a little negative reaction. He runs. Oh, okay, sorry, I didn't mean it. Because he anyway doesn't really believe the world is ready. So as soon as he sees a little negative reaction, he says, oh, you see, the world's not ready. But somebody who is working with the conviction that the world is ready, he goes and he talks to someone about it. The guy gets really, he says, calm down, take it easy. I get negative reactions with tefillin also, right? I don't run away. I say, relax, it's good for you, don't worry about it. You get over it. And if they listen. So if you're living with the conviction that the world, that the Jews are ready, the world is ready. In fact, in certain ways, the Rebbe said the world is more ready than the Jews. The world is looking at the Jew and saying, what's with you guys? Get ready. The Rebbe repeated this a few different times, this idea that the nations of the world are looking at the Jews and saying, what's the matter with you people? Why are you holding up the works? So if I'm ready, and you're ready, and the world's ready, and the Rebbe's ready, so what are we doing? So as soon as we realize this, we won't be doing anything here. We're out of here. And not out of here. We're in here. We reveal how that even the superficial layer of concealment that exists also disappears. Because once you could see, the whole purpose of the concealment that God puts into the world is in order that you should have the challenge of seeing through it. But once you have successfully penetrated that superficial concealment and you see through it, so it has outlived its purpose. And it goes away, as things that outlive their purpose do. So when we stop looking at the externals and we look at what really is going on here, so it has outlived its purpose, and all the seeming concealments go away, and we get to see what we really want to see, which is the Rebbe, Melech HaMashiach, taking us to Eretz Yisrael, to the third base of English. Thank you from Yad Mamash.
Well, basically, I mean, based on what we've been saying, it comes out that, I mean, this is where it's at. I mean, the Rebbe is as we said, if you want to get in touch, if you want to be just be a good observant Jew, a nice Jew, you can do that probably without a direct open connection to the Rebbe. As we said, if you want to be a part of the process, if you want to be able to get in touch, experience what it means to get in touch with the inner part of yourself, with the real you, with the real Jew, experience that type of connection to God which transcends all limitations, which is totally to experience what it means to give your life over to something which is higher, to be connected totally to something which is higher, to be able to see, to be able to connect to not what meets the eye, and not deal with the external appearances of the world on the most superficial level, but to be able to see beyond that, to be able to live, operate in a world that way, to be able to experience what it means to live as a Jew who feels like the world was created for me. Instead of living as a Jew, who feels like, excuse me, world, for living. Then the only way, the only place where you can get there, and a lot more, I mean, this expresses itself not only in spiritual and also in material ways. When I try to explain to my family how I survive the Gashmias these days, they can't relate to it. You know, they, in the world, they understand that you go to college or you study something or you start a business and you have something in your hand, and from that, you live. But to live on daily miracles and divine providence, like a shliach does, or someone who's involved in shlichus-related activities, and sometimes the Rebbe is kind enough to even let balabatim experience what it means to feel like you're falling out of the sky without a parachute. Begashmius. And at the same time, to live that kind of life where you see God's hand in every step of your life, that's only by the devil. That's where you can get this. It's the only place. Like I said, I tell my family, my father-in-law, he has nightmares. You know, I'm supposed to be supporting his daughter. He doesn't understand, you know what I mean? Like, what do you mean? You don't know this week what's happening next week. I said, what's the big deal? How many times do you have to see that next week what's supposed to happen happens? But then what happens when the week comes and it doesn't happen? So it'll happen the week after. And he just cannot relate to living on Hashgacha Pratis from day to day. Living on miracles. But this is... So you come to the Rebbe not only for Gashmi Zdiga Bracha, but you come for the Rebbe to see God's hand in your day-to-day life. There are people who complain sometimes that it seems that the outsiders get the material brachas more than the Lubavitchers. The outsider comes to the Rebbe, you know, the Satmar, the guy who sneaks in from Williamsburg, makes sure no one's watching, comes to the Rebbe, yes, the bracha, and boom. And the Lubavitchers are coming to them for 20 years, and it's still nothing's happening. But the answer is that when you're closer to the devil, you're not supposed to come asking to the devil, listen, I want to be like the person, the outsider comes, he figures he can come to the devil and he'll get the devil will give him a nice present, a nice treat, and he'll be happy. But the insider knows that the main thing is the connection, the closeness to the devil. So if you're looking for what you're going to get out of it, you end up with neither. You end up not with the closest to the Rebbe and not with what you get out of the closest to the Rebbe. But if you're looking for the closest to the Rebbe, even not because of what I'm going to get out of it, then you end up getting everything. And that, for anybody who's involved, you have to just speak to the people who are involved. Anyone who's looking into beginning, making the first steps towards Hasidus, towards the Rebbe, you have to speak to the people who are involved and who are living with their eyes open. They are still asking questions and getting answers. Again, it used to be, the difference between then and now is that then, the effect that it ever had on you was much more obvious. You kind of just went to him. You went for a Yom Tov, you went for a dollar, and it ever blew you away. Now, if you want to have a connection to the Rebbe, you have to do a little more. You have to learn a little bit more. You have to look for that connection. It's not going to come and grab you. But for those who look for the connection, feel that the intensity, the power of that connection has in no way diminished and in many ways gotten stronger. But as anything else, there are certain things in life that until you've experienced them, you can only talk to people you trust and accept on faith what they're telling you until you actually experience it. But I can tell you from what little, I can't say that I've done my part in developing the connection as I should with the Rebbe, but from what little I have done and the response that the Rebbe has given to me is in many ways much more intense and much more powerful today than it was before Gimel Talmud. This is something which is discussed at length in the Rebbe's Sichas. Now is not the time to go into it at length, but this is this idea that in a situation where the Rebbe seems concealed from you, that actually he's really much closer to you, is a basic idea in Chassidus. And as I said, philosophy is never enough. You have to actually experience it. But for those who put in the effort to try to experience this connection, they see that the rewards pay off in many ways. The dividends are much greater than they were before. I don't know. I just know one thing, that let's try to do whatever we can to make as many as fast as possible so that we won't have to keep asking these questions.